Listen for the word of the Lord from the first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 17, continuing to chapter 3, 13. Do you have any idea how very homesick we became for you, dear friends? Even though it hadn't been that long, and it was only our bodies that were separated from you, not our hearts, we tried our very best to get back to see you. You can't imagine how much we missed you. I, Paul, tried over and over to get back, but Satan stymied us each time. Who do you think we're going to be proud of when our Master Jesus appears, if it's not you? You are our pride and joy. So when we couldn't stand being separated from you any longer and could find no way to visit you ourselves, we stayed in Athens and sent Timothy to get you up and about, cheering you on so you wouldn't be discouraged by these hard times. He's a brother and companion in the faith, God's man in spreading the message, preaching Christ. Not that the trouble should come as any surprise to you. You've always known that we're in for this kind of thing. It's part of our calling. When we were with you, we made it quite clear that there was trouble ahead. And now that it's happened, you know what it's like. That's why I couldn't quit worrying. I had to know for myself how you were doing in the faith. I didn't want the tempter getting to you and tearing down everything we had built up together. But now that Timothy is back, bringing this terrific report on your faith and love, we feel a lot better. It's especially gratifying to know that you continue to think well of us and that you want to see us as much as we want to see you. In the middle of our trouble and hard times here, just knowing how you're doing keeps us going. Knowing that your faith is alive keeps us alive. What would be an adequate thanksgiving to offer God for all the joy we experience before Him because of you? We do what we can, praying away night and day, asking for the bonus of seeing your faces again, and doing what we can to help when your faith falters. May God our Father Himself and our Master Jesus clear the road to you, and may the Master pour on the love so it fills your lives and splashes over on everyone around you, just as it does from us to you. May you be infused with strength and purity, filled with confidence in the presence of God, our Father, when our Master Jesus arrives with all His followers. These are the words of the Lord.
Let us pray. Gracious Lord God, send your Holy Spirit to open us to your word and us to your word, so that we might behold your glory once again, that we might have the affections of Jesus Christ for one another in a lost, hurting world. Amen. It was a little over 20 years ago that one of the strangest things that ever happened in my life occurred. My wife and I, Michelle, and my son, Mikhail, we shared a house with a family while we were both in graduate school. A man and a woman and a child just like us. We lived in the upstairs first floor apartment of this house, and they lived in the basement suite. Now, we had moved in 6 months before they did, and during that time, we shared the house with a librarian. The librarian, she never made any noise. And we could hardly tell when she was at home or when she was away. But when this family moved into the basement, we knew they were there. They were loud and social, and they had a one-year-old daughter who was the loudest and most social of the three. We struggled at first to adapt to our new neighbors. They'd come from Bangalore in the south of India and had customs and mores that were quite foreign to us. The noise and people in and out all the time. That didn't make studying and writing papers easy. It didn't make for a quiet environment to get our own one-year-old son asleep at night. But to make a long story short, after sharing the house, after 1.5 years, we had become the best of friends with that family. Now, here is the strange event. I was standing in the airport of Vancouver, British Columbia, saying goodbye to this family as the time had come for them to return home to India. And as I was giving a goodbye embrace to the man before he stepped on the plane, we both began to weep, almost uncontrollably. I felt like I was losing a part of me. Such good and trusting friends we had become, and you can ask my wife, Michelle, what I was like 20 years ago. I was cautious. I was guarded, always keeping my emotions inside of me because I didn't trust them coming out. But there in the airport, I simply couldn't help myself. I had come to love my friend, and the parting was almost too much to bear. These are the sorts of feelings that Paul was writing to the Thessalonians about, of which we've heard read to us here this morning. And it's why the Revised Common Lectionary is on my naughty list, because it doesn't include the reading of Paul telling his story of how he felt when he was in Athens, missing the Thessalonians up the road so much and not knowing how life was going for them that he couldn't bear it any longer, so he sent his companion Timothy to find out how they were. And upon hearing back from Timothy that the Thessalonians were firm in their faith, Paul said, "We live because you guys have faith." The New Testament, it wasn't written so that we could become Bible trivia experts or we could lead with our minds and thus protect our hearts. It wasn't written so that we could be in control of our lives with an impressive apparatus of doctrine. No, this morning we're reading about Paul's affections and love that he had for the Thessalonians. That's what the Word of God is speaking to us this morning. Those people, they were his glory and joy. You see, if we're not seeing or understanding or experiencing faith from relationship, through friendship, and through love for one another, then guess what? We've missed everything. If we live faith in a way where there is a place where it's just ourselves and God and then nobody else, if we have a place like that, then guess what? We're merely living religion according to the dictates of modern individualism. And the first and biggest casualty of modern individualism is this: it's love. You see, when we're individuals in the modern world, others get cut off from us. Now, most certainly we do live in a world that says, don't get hurt. And if you've ever been hurt by someone you love and trust, then you know how our natural inclinations as human beings is to protect ourselves, to clam up. Consequently, life in a fallen and sinful world makes you and me less vulnerable. But being less vulnerable, even though that makes you and me feel safer, it also makes you and me less alive. We were made for relationships. It's what being in the image of God ultimately means. The godliness of God is this: the Father loving the Son and the Spirit, and the Son loving the Father and the Spirit, and the Spirit loving the Father and the Son. The Trinity is relational. And God made you and me to be relational, to share the very quality of the love and fellowship that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit themselves have. Paul, in having his feelings on display for the Thessalonians to see, and we need to know that just before this passage, Paul wrote these words: "We were gentle among you, like a nurse tenderly caring for her own children. So deeply do we care for you that we determined to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our very selves, because you have become very dear to us." In having his feelings on display, Paul was modeling for the Thessalonians and for you and me, hey, this is the way that you guys should feel about one another. You are our glory. You are our joy. that was the strange thing that was going on back in June of 1996 when I was saying goodbye to my friend in the airport that day. Someone who 18 months earlier had been someone I didn't know and struggled to trust became someone for whom I felt he is my glory and he is my joy. It was as if I began to discover that the gospel of Jesus Christ frees us and calls us to love one another in a manner where we really do end up giving our hearts to one another. That's what God continually holds out for you and me. God holds out a gospel of following Jesus Christ where he leads us into one another's hearts. This is not icing on the top. This is the very heart of what God has done in the life, death, and resurrection of his Son. God has taken our affections, fallen, sinful, self-protective, selfish, and at times even self-hating. God's taken those affections and given us the affections of Jesus Christ. Grace, truth, forgiveness, justice, joy, mercy. We've been given joy because we've been given one another. Question. Do you want it? Do you desire it? Do you want to know and to be known among one another? Do you want to have a community where trust and affection and friendship are not the exception, but rather are the daily reality? Do you want to hold and be held by your friends, where you're loved and prayed for, and where you can love and pray for others? That's really what this place is supposed to be. It's what God had in mind all along. You and I, we are one another's glory and joy. I don't know about you, but I'm very excited about that. And I look forward to ever so more having my own heart opened in places that I don't know about for all of you here in this room. So that what happened to me 20 some odd years ago would not be the exception, but would be the rule. You are our glory and joy. Amen.